everyone, welcome back to Moms After Bedtime. I'm Megan, and I'm here with Brooke and our special guest, Shelby.
Hi.
So, as you know, Mandy is, although she's on the Instagram story this week, which is a nice little treat, she is still on her maternity leave, I guess we're calling it, from the podcast. She'll be back when she's feeling ready and up to it, which I think will probably be soon. But that gives us the opportunity to have a great guest host like Shelby. So today we're going to talk to Shelby just about her story, her family dynamics, and she and her partner are actually dealing with some subsequent infertility right now. We talk about that a lot on our show. So if that's triggering for you, just kind of a warning. But yeah, we're really excited to sit down and hear her story. But before we get to her story, let's do some wine and cheese. Shelby, since you're the guest, do you want to go first?
Sure. So I had originally come up with a different wine, but today I woke up and was just feeling kind of junky. So that's my wine. I woke up with a sore throat and a headache and was just kind of feeling blah. So I guess it matched the weather for today anyways. So that's my wine. And then my cheese is we share custody of my two children with their dad and stepmom. And yesterday we were able, it was our last day with them yesterday. And we were able to have some alone time with them. So my daughter and I went to get pedicures together and the boys had their time together. So we don't get much of that. So that was really nice.
Oh, that's nice.
I'm excited to do those things when Shay gets older.
That's fun.
So my wine literally just happened right before this. I think I mentioned on the last episode that I'm back. I've been in classes this whole time, but I'm in a synchronous class that I literally have 6 hours that we meet every week. So it's 3 hours on Monday and 3 hours on Thursday. And Shane had to work late tonight and I could have left Shay at daycare. They are open until 6, but I drop her off at like 7 and that I just felt really guilty leaving her at daycare late. So I went and picked her up before my class and then got to tried to attend to my class and her for a good 2 hours before Shane got home. And it was just like, this is the second time I've had to do it. All I have to say is it's not fun. And I feel like I missed out on most of my class because I was trying to I put on like her favorite movie. She said she wants to watch like Moana. And then she never does this. Like 10 minutes in, she's like, nah, I want Rapunzel. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to give you what you want because I need you to be happy. And then 10 minutes into Rapunzel, she wants Cocomelon and then Netflix isn't working. So I'm like, oh my God. So I put her on my phone, but like, I like the fact that I have the flexibility of online classes, but it's a pain in the butt when we didn't plan ahead and get a sitter, and hopefully I won't have to do it again.
Yeah, that's hard.
Yeah. And then when Shane got home, he tried to, like, take over, and she only wanted me.
Naturally.
So it wasn't even like when he got home, things got easier. It was harder because she was just screaming for me. And the only time that we got her to, like, go to him was dinner time, and we had pizza. So she was, like, all about it. So it's just, like, kind of exhausting. And
that's how it always works, though. When you want them to, like, want someone else, they just want to be with you.
Yeah. Yeah, she just stood in the living room crying at me, holding my hand.
Oh.
Yeah, so I have class again on Thursday. Shane will be home to watch her. Thank God. And then my cheese is that Friday, I've been off of work on Fridays, and I've been keeping Shay home with me. And I kind of decided spontaneously to go to the beach, and we got to the beach and saw Mandy there with Isla. So we got to have like a surprise beach day, and there was like some other people from work and stuff there, but, it was quite the relief because on the playground, Shay didn't befriend a little girl obsessed over Shay. And like followed her around and let Shay drink her apple juice.
Oh gosh.
They like shared a bottle. Yeah, I'm like, I like looked at their mom.
Stop
like
this.
is this okay? She's like, well, they're not sick, so so I was very relieved, like not only happy to see Mandy and Isla, but also like, oh, thank God we have an escape from like this random little girl who won't leave Shay alone. But it was fun. It was our first beach day of the year, and living in a town with a beach, you think we would go more often.
But. Yeah, but the thing, I try to explain this to like Ryan's family, because we're going to Wells for a little like family vacation, and they're not from around here, and so I'm like, no, you don't understand. Like, I haven't been to these places, because when the tourists come, you get out.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Right. So I'm like, I worked in these places, but that doesn't mean I want to hang out in them. So
yeah, it is much different when you like live there.
Yeah.
There's so many places, like restaurants and stuff, that we just haven't even ventured to. The wait times are too long. Yeah. They're overpriced.
Right. Yeah. This is very small scale, but Ryan and I like pee ourselves laughing every time. There's like a bus company that's called like the Stephen King Tours in Bangor. Because I don't know if anybody knows this, but I live a few streets over from Stephen King's house. I don't know if he lives there full-time. Probably not.
Oh, I didn't realize you lived so close to him.
Yeah, it's like walking distance, probably.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
My street is not as nice as Stephen King's street, but...
I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah, but there, we'll see, like, tour buses with, like, Pennywise on it, and it's, like, Stephen King tours, and we're like, who the fuck is here taking a Stephen King tour? Our neighborhood. speaking of Wells and that area, southern Maine, my wine and cheese are both kind of wine. No, they're both a nice pairing of wine and cheese together.
Oh, so, okay.
And I was like, you know what? I own 1/3 of this podcast. I'm going to do what I want. So I have really two cheeses. Anyway, so that was, speaking of aura colors, I feel like that's a very red.
Red, yep.
Thought process. Anyway, yep. So tomorrow, actually, we're recording this Monday. So tomorrow, the 20th, is mine and Ryan's second wedding anniversary, which is exciting. And it's weird because COVID happened like in the middle of that. So it feels like we're married for our first year. And then there was 15 years in between, and then now we're back to, like, I don't know, but, yeah, so, we are gonna go to, Ogunquit, which is right next to Wells, if you're not familiar with that area, for just a night, just to celebrate our anniversary. We went to Kennebunkport last year, so we're kind of just, while it's still sort of... like COVID times.
Last year when you guys ended up at like summer camp.
Yeah, we're not going to a summer camp again. That was like one of our first episodes where that was my wine. Yeah, we're not going to do that and then leave in the middle of the night. We learned our lesson. So we're going to go to Ogunquit. But my wine of that is that I'm leaving Eliza for the first time overnight. And with her, I mean, it's with her grandparents, but still, I wish I was like, oh, it's cool, it's fine, I'm chill, mom. I'm not. I'm like, absolutely, like, my stomach hurts already. I'm like, scared I'm not gonna have a good time. I don't want to be that far away from her. And yeah.
You can just text her to check on her.
Yeah.
I still do that with my kids. I'm like, did they brush their teeth?
Yeah.
Can I FaceTime them to say goodnight? And she's like, my mom's always like, Shelby, I live like 20 minutes away. They've only been here for like 15 minutes. Stop.
That makes me feel more normal, better.
Yeah. Especially like you have older kids, so it clearly doesn't go away.
Nope.
Yeah. So just, you know, starting the process of dealing with that for probably the rest of my life. But so that's kind of the wine of that. And then something that I haven't really shared on here, which is weird because it's definitely like a mom kid thing that other people have probably dealt with, and I probably could have gotten support this whole time, but whatever. Eliza had hip dysplasia, and it was from her being in the breech position. So her hips just didn't develop the right way. So she's been in a hip brace for a little while, just at night. And she did a pretty awesome job with it. But today, we got to go to the pediatric orthopedic specialist. That's a mouthful. Today. Mm-hmm. And they did an x-ray and the brace corrected the hip dysplasia.
Yay.
And
that's
so
exciting.
No more brace, all that good stuff.
She's going to be like, how do you think she's going to react? Or did you already put her down for bed? Duh. It's almost 8
yeah,
o'clock.
She, I don't know if you can see her, but.
Oh, her little arms up. Did she even realize she didn't have it on?
I don't think so.
Oh.
And she just sprawled out and.
Yeah.
She's
like, this
good.
Is way more comfortable.
Yeah. I think she was starting to realize that she was wearing the hip brace recently. Like, the other day, she just looked me in the eye and, like, ripped off the belly part. So, like, all right, this is, hopefully, we don't have to do anything more. But, so it was just really good news. And we left and went to breakfast to celebrate because we were honestly kind of scared because the next step would be, like, a full cast harness. And I just really feel for parents who have to deal with that because you have to like change their diaper inside the cast and all that stuff. So luckily they caught it early, we corrected it, we're good, but it's been kind of hard to deal with, even though it's like a not a huge deal thing. It's like one of those things where you're like, well, things could be so much worse. I'm glad it's just a physical thing, or
yeah,
I don't know.
I mean,
but it still sucks.
Don't discredit yourself. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like as moms, we often talk down our worries like, oh, it's no big deal. When
right.
I mean, yeah, she's not like super sick or anything, but it's still like scary.
Right. Yeah. Because you don't know. Like you have to do it in little steps.
Yeah.
Like the first step, they were like, oh, there's a 98% chance that the classification she has will correct itself by your next appointment.
Mm-hmm.
And the 2% have hip dysplasia. And of course, we went in and they're like, well, she's the 2%. So you're like, great.
Right.
But anyway, so kind of cheesy things this week, which are good. So.
Right. That's good. You'd rather have more cheese than wine.
I know. Yeah. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to.
It's an extra cheesy week.
Extra cheesy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Anyway, so now we're going to hand over the reins to Shelby to share her story.
Yeah, all right. So I am 29 and I'm a mom of two. I have a 9-year-old son named Jace and a 7-year-old daughter, Braylee. And I'm sure people, when they listen to this, they're going to be like doing the calculations. Yes, I was very young when I had both of my kids. Mm. I was 19 when I had Jace and 21 when I had Braylee. Super young, but they're from a previous relationship. And so I've been with my partner Garrett now for almost 5 years. And so we met in, I'm horrible with dates. I literally had to write all of this down. We met in October of 2016 is when we kind of started dating. And then fall of 2018 is when we started trying to conceive. And for a while, I was, I don't want to use the word ashamed, but like nervous about being judged because we started trying to conceive like only 2 years after getting together. But once we kind of realized that we were struggling with infertility, I was really glad that we had kind of started soon into our relationship. Not to mention like I already had two kids. We already weren't in a traditional relationship anyways. So yeah, I know Mandy has shared a lot about her infertility story and so much of her knowledge that she has learned along the way. And she's actually the person I reached out to when we first kind of suspected that there was something going on. So I've kind of learned a lot from her and was really thankful that she was so open with her story. Mm-hmm. So the biggest difference with like Mandy and I that I thought would be important to share when you guys kind of opened it up for guests when she went on maternity leave is that we're still kind of going through it. So like we're like in the thick of it. So we still have like a lot of questions unanswered. We have a diagnosis, but I mean, there's still so much more that we're going to have to go through. And then also the fact that I have my two kids and mm-hmm. now we're experiencing infertility. So for a while I was calling it secondary infertility because that's like when you have children and then any subsequent, I don't know, tries at trying to get getting pregnant or whatever you have trouble with, and then you end up needing like fertility treatments or whatever. And that's not the case for us because our diagnosis is male factor and Garrett doesn't have any kids of his own. So it's technically not secondary. Mm-hmm. And I don't really know like what you would call it. But I don't think I've met anyone, or to my knowledge, don't know anyone who's in the situation that we are. Obviously, like we're not the only ones, but where I already have my two kids, I kind of expected like, yeah, it might take a few months. And then, you know, I knew that I could get pregnant pretty easily because, mm-hmm. you know, I have my kids that I conceived naturally. And so when that doesn't happen, it's kind of like, oh, like, wow, there's something going on here. Mm-hmm. So that's another piece of infertility that I think is important for people to like understand that they're not alone in being upset about not being able to conceive on their own with any future pregnancies. I've had so many people say to me, well, you should be thankful that you have your two kids.
I was just going to ask about the comments that you have probably gotten.
Yeah, that was on my question list. Yeah. Like, what's the most annoying things that people say to you? Yeah.
That's probably one of that, and just stop thinking about it and it'll happen. I'm like, no, like we have a legitimate diagnosis. Yeah. Yeah. We can't just like shut our brains off and then like it's going to happen. Yeah. I mean, it does happen. I know people that have tried and tried and gotten an infertility diagnosis and like gone through like treatments and stuff unsuccessfully and ended up getting pregnant naturally. But you have to be at that point where you're like, okay, like I'm just done trying. You can't just like tell your brain to shut off and stop thinking about it.
Right.
So, so we started trying to conceive in like the fall of 2018. And after probably like 6 months, I kind of suspected maybe I just had like a gut feeling, mm-hmm. but it had only been 6 months and we're still Garrett's 33 and I'm 29. So I don't know, do the math a few years ago. Like we were still young at that point. Yeah. So we were still young. And so doctors, like any doctor will require you to try for like about a year if you're like healthy and under, I think it's like 35 for women. So I was like doing ovulation predictor kits and I got a basal body thermometer and was like taking my temperature every morning and nothing was really coming of it. So we waited the full year. And then I think late October of 2019, I went to my physical with my primary care doctor and just kind of, so a year before that I had gone and gotten my IUD taken out. So she knew that we were going to start trying and she was like, so how's everything going? And, you know, just curious about what was going on. And I was like, you know, it's been about a year and nothing. So at that point, Garrett isn't a or wasn't a patient at that point of our doctor's office, but she's like, I can write an order for a semen analysis, and you guys can just let me know when he goes and I'll give you the results. But you can't, like, I brought it home and like told Garrett, and obviously no guy is going to be like jumping for joy to go and do that. It's like really awkward. So like, I'll talk more about it like later in our journey, but modesty totally goes out the window for men and women when it comes to infertility. Like, I think as women, we plan on, you know, the modesty just going away. Like when you're giving birth, like when you're in labor, those appointments, like, you know, that there, that's not a time to like, you know, be modest.
You don't really have much of a choice.
Yeah. Right, right. So, but guys don't really plan for that. And so he was like, you know, I need to think about it. Like, I don't know, like, if I'm ready for this. And so we waited a few weeks. And then I was like, you know what, why don't I call my OBGYN? Because OB offices can do, like, basic fertility testing, and they can do IUI procedures. Which is just intrauterine insemination. It's like a step above naturally conceiving and a step below IVF. So I reached out to them, and all of the offices start, when they do infertility testing, they start with the man because it's just the easiest thing to do. Yeah. And so basically he had no choice at that point. So we did the testing and we got his results back, and it was male factor, which we suspected, but they still needed to do the testing, like HSG testing, which I know Mandy's talked about on here, but like all the female testing, they had to do that on me as well. So we went through all of that, and then I had my first IUI procedure in December of 2019. And it's just crazy to me how, even though our diagnosis is male factor, I still, which I know it's the same with Mandy as well, still had to take the medications.
So you had to do all the shots. And
No. So thankfully for that, I only had to do pills, and then like a one trigger injection, which is like a belly shot, which is totally like nothing. It was super easy.
Right.
But still, I mean, it like affected my hair and my skin, and it was awful.
I feel like it's an extra level, like you, like, oh, I want to have a baby and be pregnant and all of that. And like, you can prepare, oh, my body's going to go through that. But then when you're dealing with infertility, your body is also dealing with another layer. Yeah. I just, it's, like, hearing these stories is just amazing, that, like, what you're putting your bodies through, even to get to an experience that's going to put your body through hell again.
Yeah, it's really intense, because I didn't expect that I would have to take any medications where it, I know that I can conceive on my own, but they really want like your egg production to be like really high. And then the doctors like want to know when you're going to ovulate, obviously, so that they know, you know, the perfect timing, because even conceiving naturally is a miracle in itself. Like, you can't, you have to time it just perfectly. So obviously that first IUI was unsuccessful. So we went for our second one in January of 2020, also was unsuccessful. And then I was supposed to go back in March, which was when COVID happened.
That was going to be one of my questions, was, you know, how did COVID affect this whole process? Because obviously it had to, because it was like right there, right in the middle.
Yeah. So my March appointment was still on the books and I would have been able to go in, but COVID was so new and my daughter has asthma. And at that point, we weren't sure how the virus would affect her. So I was just nervous to like go to a doctor's office
at
all.
Totally understand that.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up canceling it. And shortly after that, I got like a generic message just saying that the office wasn't taking those kind of appointments anymore, obviously, because everything pretty much shut down. And my nurse was like, do you want me to call you when, you know, we open back up and start doing these types of procedures again? And so I told her that, you know, she could call. And at that point, we weren't really sure where we were going to go. So it was about June or July of last year. And I got the call that they were seeing patients again. And I told her, you know, I'm not really sure. Let me, you know, I got to talk to Garrett, whatever. And so it was like August, September, probably, that we decided to try again. I wasn't thrilled about taking medications again or anything mm-hmm. like that. But we had gone, you know, from March to that point of trying on our own again, and nothing happened. So we did our third IUI in October of 2020. And we kind of talked at that point with Garrett and I and our doctor. And I was like, okay, if this one doesn't work, we'll do one more and then kind of regroup and figure out, you know, if we should continue with, you know, this route. And that one didn't take as either. So we did our last IUI in November of 2020. It was our fourth one, and it was unsuccessful. And at that point, it was almost Thanksgiving and Christmas, and like my kids' birthdays are at the beginning of the year. So I was like, we're just going to take a break for a while, and then we'll like look into IVF. So we started looking into it. It was like January or February. I had already sent all of my information over to the fertility specialist's office. So they already had all of our like baseline testing and all that stuff, but they were still doing like virtual appointments. So I had all of my appointments virtually, and thankfully any testing that I needed to get like redone or Garrett needed to get done, we could do here because the office is in Portsmouth. So it's mm-hmm. kind of a hike. But before we started doing that, I was like, I really want to get a second opinion from a urologist, just because it had been so long since we got the initial analysis. And although OBGYNs can do the basic testing, they don't have like the full understanding of like right. all of these results.
That's a good idea to advocate and go that route.
Yeah. And so my grandfather's wife, my mom's stepmom, was a nurse, and she's like, she kind of put a bug in my ear and was like, hey, why don't you, like, has he seen a urologist? And you would think that our doctor maybe would have like suggested that, but they never did. So I took it upon myself to reach out. And so that's where the other part of the like no modesty comes in. Garrett had to get like an ultrasound, and it was like a running joke because he's yeah. like, do you come with me? And I'm like, I do not want to be in the yeah. room. Like, no, thank you.
Yeah.
So he had a second analysis done, and this time the urologist was able to give us like a better understanding of like what we were really dealing with, and it was a little bit more than what we thought. Mm. There were like some pros and some cons to his test results, which was good because it wasn't all bad. And then I had requested the ultrasound because there's a thing called a varicocele, and it's like a varicose vein, but it's in like a man's testicle, and it can cause like the temperature to be off in that area, and it can cause all kinds of problems, and it's an easy fix. So I was like, well, if that's potentially it and we don't have to move forward with IVF, then right. that would be great. Fortunately and unfortunately, that's not what it was, but we left there kind of with a better understanding of our whole situation. That was March of this year. And so we had our appointments all lined up, our testing all lined up. I had met with the doctor We had already known that we would get approved for financing because IVF is not cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah. On top of all the IUIs.
Right. So, and then in the middle of all of that, we have things kind of went a little bit crazy. So the housing market and everything is super crazy right now. And we actually came upon some land that we like fell in love with. And at that point, I was like, we totally can't be applying to have IVF financed on top of like buying land and then building a house. So we had to have a discussion. I mean, technically, we probably could have done both, but I know that when you apply for like two things, like to like try to finance two things at the same time, they can kind of mess each other up. So I was like, we really need to like logically think about this. And ultimately, we decided like we need a bigger house right now for the kids that we already have. And we're still both, I mean, our fertility specialist told me, he's like, you're the age of a lot of our egg donors. Like, you're at a perfect age right now. So if we have to wait like another year or two to look into it, we will. But ultimately, we had to decide what we were going to do. And I was like, we need this land and we can't pass it up. We don't need a baby right now. So that's kind of where we're at right now. And when you are in the thick of infertility, you can't really have, I've learned, you can't really have like a solid plan because nothing's going to go exactly, you know, how you plan it. So we made the agreement that like we'll revisit this like next spring or next summer if we haven't miraculously somehow gotten pregnant between now and then. And then kind of the third piece to that is Maine legislation is trying to pass a bill right now to get fertility treatments covered by insurance. I don't know how long that stuff takes, but I'm like, you know, between now and then, if that happens, great. And we can kind of start doing that. That would be great. But if not, we're going to kind of regroup and see where we're at next year around this time. So, yeah, we kind of are just in limbo. Garrett keeps joking, like, well, it doesn't hurt to keep practicing in the meantime. Like, you're such a like guy comment, but that's kind of, yeah, that's where we're at right now.
I feel like that's such an important piece where you brought up the financial piece, and I know we've talked about that with Mandy too, like, you know, she's very transparent about like the cost of everything, but sometimes you have to make a decision, like you guys had to make, like, okay, right now in this moment, like, that's gonna be so hard to have to even, like, you already like, take away so much of getting pregnant and that and conceiving, and then to also have to sit down and plan out your finances and like logistics of it. Like, there's just like, I think that's a huge piece that people don't even think about.
Right.
So much is taken away from that whole like conception process, and it must be hard to be having to make decisions like that.
Right. Because you have to take something that is emotional to you and make it like a logical, we have to plan it this way. And that has to be really, really hard to do that.
Yeah, it definitely isn't easy. It's really been a very humbling experience, for sure. And I've had people look at me like kind of crazy when I talk to them about our situation. And I'm like, you know, I'm kind of glad that we're going through this because I've learned so much. I mean, before I, you know, you feel for people who are in this situation, but you don't get it until, I mean, like any situation, like any, you know, intense situation, you don't get it until you're living it. And yeah, I've learned a lot, and I've definitely, we've grown a lot as individuals, I think, and as a couple. And I have learned to appreciate my kids that I do have, but that doesn't you know, take away from the fact that, like, we want kids together and we want more. Like, I want my kids to have another sibling or, you know, two more siblings. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
So you already have kids and now you and Garrett are struggling with infertility. Do you feel welcome in the infertility community? Was that, I don't know, I could see that being possibly a challenge with already having kids where some people have been trying for years and they don't have kids. And I don't know if you're even in any, like, I just know Mandy talks about, like, infertility groups and how that was helpful for her. Was it hard for you to find that type of support?
Not really. I haven't run into any, like, negativity, but I actually would, I haven't really searched for, like, a community for individuals in our specific situation, mm-hmm. like, people mm-hmm. who already have children. So I would like to find more people to connect with in that way. And that's kind of one of the reasons why I started sharing our story, just to kind of maybe reach people mm-hmm. who are in that situation and who are kind of feeling alone, because infertility is lonely, but then add on, you know, people saying to you, well, you already have kids, you should be grateful for them.
Totally discrediting all of your wants or just your entire, I don't know how to say it, but just discrediting you completely.
Yeah. Right. And I know that, like, most of the time, the people that have said that to me, they're coming at it from, like, a place of love. Obviously, they don't mean it in a negative way, but that's kind of a situation where you have to think before you speak.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was literally just going to say, think before you speak.
Yeah. It goes back to that whole, like, people don't know how to sit in the uncomfortableness, so they fill in that space with, like, well, at least you have, like, right. you know, that at least comment, which I'm guilty of, too. I feel like we've all done it. But
right,
like,
in, like, some situation, yeah. At least you have
kids already.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
And my other question, is it hard for you or for Garrett to see that you do already have kids? And, I mean, this is more of a question for him. Like, is it hard for him to have to kind of deal with that?
I think it has been at times, and he has made the comment and then kind of retracted it and said, you know, well, be thankful that you have your kids. And I get, I totally get that. I mean, coming from him is different than coming from an outsider. Like, I totally, like, understand. So I think it is hard for him. And then it's also, it's a little bit difficult for me, just because when we were kind of going through everything, like doctor's appointments and the testing and everything, like, I felt like it was consuming me and I wasn't giving them the attention that they needed.
That's going to be so hard. Yeah. Did they know that you were trying to have another baby too? Like, are they aware of this process?
A little bit. So they, at this point, don't know, like, how babies are made. But
right.
They know that I was going to the baby doctor. And so my son is older. And he was like, well, why are you going to the baby doctor if you're not having a baby? And so we just kind of explained, like, sometimes people need a little bit more help to get a baby in their belly. They need help from the doctors. And so another part of that, without kind of sharing the other half of their family story, their dad and stepmom have two kids together. And so I think that it was a little bit confusing for them to be like, well, they wanted babies and they had babies and you want babies. So why can't, or why don't you? Right. So that was, I think, a little bit confusing, but they kind of, we've answered any questions and kind of just kept it pretty basic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me know if I'm asking anything that makes you uncomfortable or is anything that is not sensitive either.
No.
Right. Yeah. I feel like seeing Mandy go through this process has made me really think about, what am I saying that's insensitive, or how can I be more, like, I've texted her before and said, I want to show someone who's going through infertility that I'm there for them. How do I do it without sounding like an asshole?
Like, well, it's kind of the same thing as like anything, really. I mean, you guys talk a lot about like breastfeeding and bottle feeding on here, and like I feel like I've been on both sides of that with both of the kids, but mm-hmm. like I feel like people make comments that maybe come off as insensitive sometimes when really you're just like trying to learn and understand, right. like you know what they're feeling and what they're going through. Mm-hmm. So
so I guess you guys are pretty open with this, but when you first started trying to conceive and things weren't going well, like, do people just assume that you don't want to have kids or that Garrett doesn't want to have kids? Like, do you get those types mm-hmm. of questions where, like, you know, we have Shay and people ask us all the time, like, are you going to have another kid? Are you going to have another kid? And they don't know. Maybe we're trying. Maybe we're, you know.
Right.
Maybe we don't want kids. Like, do people ask you those types of questions? And
they did. And then, like, obviously another one, like I said earlier, we're not in a traditional relationship. I already had kids. And so, like, we, since the beginning, we've kind of been like, okay, we want to buy a bigger house and then, like, we'll get married after that. Like, we're not in any rush to, like, get married and then have kids, or get married and then have a house and then have more mm-hmm. kids. Like, well, you know, whatever. We are kind of both pretty logical people. And so, like, the house was like number one on our list, like from, you know, when my kids kind of started getting bigger and we started running out of room. And so more often we were getting asked, like, so when are you going to get married? So when's the wedding? Right. Which also drives me crazy because I'm like, this is 2021. Like, where things don't always, you know, go that way.
Some people never get married, you know?
Right, like, right.
You don't have to get married.
Yeah, yeah. For sure.
Yeah, so we did get asked about, like, having kids and whatever, and that kind of brings up another regarding, like, having babies and, like, my friends having babies. That's something that I feel like is probably the hardest thing that I've had to deal with, and I'm sure other people are in the same situation, because you feel so bad for being angry when your friends are having kids and you can't. Like, you want to be, and I know that Mandy's talked about this a lot, like, you can be sad for yourself and be happy for someone else, mm-hmm. but you don't really understand the, like, intense, like, almost anger. Like, I wasn't mad at friends for having kids. Like, obviously I was happy for them, but, like, I would get so angry at one, you know, probably, like, halfway through, after, like, our second IUI, when we were kind of taking that break, I'm like, everyone is, like, posting pregnancy announcements or, like, having babies. And I was just, like, so irrationally pissed off.
I don't think it's irrational at all.
No.
I think
it felt irrational.
And also, you're allowed to, like, you weren't mad at your friends. You were mad at the situation.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
I'm sure that's got to be a hard and confusing emotion to go, or emotions, because it's multiple, to go through.
And it's, like, complex and consuming, and how can you not feel that way?
Right, right. And yeah, that's another one of the reasons why I've kind of been so open about everything, just because I know there has to be, you know, probably more people that I know that are going through this same thing, and they're going through it alone and just kind of having to process these emotions without having anyone to talk to about it. And thankfully, with me being so open about it, I've connected with a lot of people, mm-hmm. but I know that there, you know, are other women and probably men too out there that kind of don't really know how to talk to any or have anybody to talk to about it.
It's still kind of taboo, especially, like, I don't know, maybe it's because we're women. So I feel like I see more women talking about this than I do men. Mm. So I'm sure it's even more isolating for men because they just, you know, I hate to generalize, but men don't talk about this stuff.
Yeah.
And I feel like they don't have, like, a, not to say that women have a platform too, but I mean, I feel like the way we have raised men also makes it like, oh, what? I don't know.
Yeah, like what guy's going to join an infertility Facebook group? Like,
right, right.
I'm sure they exist, and I'm sure there are men out there who do talk about it.
Right.
But I think it's far and few between and probably hard to find.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Garrett, actually, he's not really a talker, but he has kind of been open with it with like his friends.
That's
and
good.
Actually, one of his friends, I think him and his wife, I think they're married, but they've been trying to conceive and it's been taking a while. And obviously, I mean, it's new for like, it's only been a few months. So Garrett was kind of like, well, take a look at what we're, you know, dealing with just so you can maybe prepare yourself. But like, I think it's totally unlike him. So I definitely, like I said, I think we've both grown as individuals throughout this whole process.
Mm-hmm. I also think that it's really, I mean, we get, you know, a lot of positive feedback for Mandy being so open with their situation and her journey. And I just think it's really, like, brave and needed and awesome that people like you and Mandy are being open with your situations, because it's sort of the same thing. I'm on a soapbox for no reason, but I feel like it's sort of the same kind of taboo-ish thing talking about like miscarriages and things like that. And I think that normalizing talking about them, you don't know how many people you're helping.
Right.
If you just open up and be like, hey, this is happening to us, or, you know, your specific situation, there's going to be someone who's listening to this who's like, wow, that hits home for me. And I think at the end of the day, we just want to connect and resonate with other people. And I think that that can make this really intensely isolating situation feel a little less shitty. So I think that's really cool.
Yeah. And I mean, it's kind of in line with, I mean, you guys talk about mental health on the podcast. Like, that is still, I mean, it's come a long way, but there are still people out there that think you're not supposed to talk about that stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's totally, you know, I feel like where we are now and with like social media and everything like that, it's just a place for people to connect about things like that. And for everyone to kind of see that we are all human and everything's not perfect and things don't always go as planned, you know? So yeah, I think it's a super important topic. It's a really hard topic to talk about sometimes, but it's really important just so people don't feel alone.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Thank you for sharing.
Of course.
Yeah, thank you for coming on and
thanks for having me
sharing
on.
Your experience.
And I think your experience is unique. Mm-hmm. And again, like Megan said, I hope somebody out there who's listening is like, wow, okay, I'm not the only one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, definitely. And I totally was thinking earlier, I wanted to tell you, Megan, when you were like really excited about sharing your birth story, because you were like, I like talking about myself. I kind of feel the same way about this because it's like kind of like your birth story where I'm not just going around, like we share bits and pieces of like our infertility journey, but like I've never actually sat down and like told the story from like start to finish to anyone. So I was like, this is like really exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't feel a little like cathartic to just.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I totally didn't, when I was going through like, so from when we started trying to conceive to now, it's been like 3 years. And when I wrote those dates down, I was like, oh my,
wow,
it's been that long. I didn't even realize it.
Yeah.
You're in the thick of it, though, you know,
really.
A short time, like, doesn't even feel the same, especially with COVID, like
COVID,
Megan said
yes.
earlier.
Yeah.
It's like 15 years in, like, a year.
We're in, like, a black hole.
COVID totally, like, we definitely were. I just am, like, I don't even know what happened in my life at that point. So.
Same.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys so much.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming on and guest hosting.
Of course, I'm excited.
And sharing your story. Do you want us to share where we can find you on Instagram?
Yeah. So it's at sa.8 S-H-N-L-Y.
Awesome. So that's where you can find Shelby on Instagram. And again, thank you for sharing your story with us and coming on and guest hosting. Remember to interact with us on the Instagram, rate, review, subscribe. There's something else you can do on Spotify. I think it's follow. Whatever. Do all the stuff.
Do it all.
Share, tell your friends. And we will see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.